the North Peace MB Church Roundtable Podcast. For more information, visit npmbchurch.com.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to the Roundtable Podcast. This is part two with special guest speaker, Danny Mackay. And if you listen to the first episode, kind of talked about who Danny is and what he does and what's happening around the world with multiplication and disciple making. But we kind of wanted to, hone it in more to Fort St. John, to our own backyard, and get very practical, I guess, with what are some tips or real simple things to do to start sharing your faith. Danny is going to be doing kind of a training seminar, but we thought, well, if people can't come, and maybe, you know, what are some ways that you can actually start doing this? So I'll just throw that question out to start with. What are some easy, simple ways you can begin sharing your faith with friends, family, strangers?
Yeah, anybody.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things that we found, you know, people really struggle with is the very first step. Right. And talking to somebody, it's, you know, for a lot of us, getting into a conversation is easy. You know, they have no problem talking to strangers, no problem talking to people, or no problem if somebody initiates with them, they'll get into a conversation. But turning it into spiritual topics is where the heart starts to pound a little bit. And so one of the things that we have found to be one of the most effective ways is the miracle question. And what the miracle question is to simply offer to pray for them and then clarify with the miracle question. So, for example, today when we went out for lunch, I said to our server, hey, my name's Danny, and this is Dawn and Andrew, and we're going to say thanks for our food, and we're just wondering, is there anything we could pray for you? And then I clarified with, if God could do a miracle in your life, what would it be? And the reason why I think it's important to clarify with the miracle question is because if you just simply say, is there anything I can pray for you? It may come across sounding condescending. It may sound self-righteous, like you're desperate and I'm
you
not.
You look like
and
you
I'm
could
holy,
use some prayer.
Yeah. Right? Like, is there anything I can pray for you? It might be, even though you mean it, it just might be. Another thing too is that prayer to a lot of people means a lot of different things.
Sure.
So, like, you know, is there beads or, you know, do we have to kneel and hold hands or, you know, do we have to go to a priest? What do you mean, pray for me? And so when we clarify with, if God could do a miracle in your life, what would it be? It takes them more into what's really going on in their life. It's kind of a really sincere, spiritual, deep way of reaching out to them and saying, how are you doing? How are things? Are you okay? Is there anything, if God could break through for you right now, what would it be? And another reason why I love that question is because it's invitational, not confrontational.
Yep.
The ball is in their court. If God could do a miracle in your life, what would it be? It still leaves them in control. Whereas, do you have a minute for me to share the gospel with you?
Yeah.
They're not in a lot of control. We've taken a lot of control out of their hand, very confrontational. Not that people are walking around doing that a lot, but some evangelism methods are very bold, very upfront, very directly confrontational. This is an invitation into, tell me what's going on in your life right now. And allowing them to decide how deep it goes. Like today, the girl said, well, just good health.
Yeah.
Okay, so she's kind of letting us know she's not interested in a very polite way.
Yep.
No harm done. Other people, I have met them and asked that question, and they have broken down on that spot and said, I can't believe you're asking me that today, and I've led them to Christ within 10 minutes. So it's a great way to test the waters, dip your toe, get the temperature, and go from there.
Yeah.
So that's
an effective
way.
And would this kind of thing still work? Let's say I've been friends with someone for, like, is this more for strangers? Or I guess, I don't know, like, it wouldn't be weird if I've known someone for 10 years to ask them that question.
No, not at all. In fact, right. You know, I tell a lot of students at school, they're like, you know, man, I've been with this friend for probably 2 years and they don't even know if I'm a Christian now. And so is it going to be weird? And I've said, no, just tell them the truth. Say, listen, I've been thinking a lot about you lately and I've been praying for you. And I'm just wondering, is there anything specific I could be praying? Like, if God could do a miracle in your life today, what would it be? You know, and so it works with people you've already known. It works with family members.
Yep.
It works at the Esso or the Shell station.
Yeah, don't you have a story, the Carl story? Or
yeah. Yeah, there's all kinds of people.
Where you go, you know, hey, is your name Carl?
Is your name Carl?
But anyways, I'm Danny.
You look like this guy Carl from my church. You know, and I would use that everywhere. Until I met a guy whose name was Carl, and I was like, hey, is your name Carl? And he was like, yeah. Oh. So I was kind of freaked out.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah, the Lord told me. But no, you know, miracle question is a great way. And then from there, it's really important, after somebody shares whatever it is that they share with you, because many times, often, you can expect and anticipate that many people will open right up to you and take you into the depths of their struggle, whether marriage or financial or physical or stress or something they're up against. People will open up because they are longing to, and they really don't know where to go and have no one to talk to. So all of a sudden, when you ask them that, there will be people who do. It's very important in that time to listen, and then if you can, if it's appropriate, to pray for them right there. I do that all the time, even in gas stations. If the person say, would you be okay if I prayed for you right now? And, you know, obviously there's 19 people in line behind me. It's not a good time. But, you know, when it is appropriate, you know, and you can offer to pray for them right there. You'll be surprised at how the Holy Spirit moves in that moment. And as you pray, don't be too preachy at them. Just pray a real genuine prayer for them. Don't pray out loud for them to hear. Pray to God on their behalf and allow the Holy Spirit to work in them. And then as soon as I'm done, you know, I'll say amen. And then I'll just launch into my testimony with them. So you know what? I remember a time in my life, and I'm talking 15 seconds. That's one of the things we'll be training this weekend, how to share your story in 15 seconds.
Wow.
Because you don't necessarily have
15 minutes.
You don't have.
Yeah.
We say an elevator from the 8th floor. You've got 15 seconds. Go. Right? So what do you say? Hey, you know what? I remember a time in my life when I felt very lost and alone. I didn't think anybody cared about me. But then I got a hold of this book, and it showed me that God still loved me and that he sent his son Jesus. I decided to start following Jesus, and ever since I did that, he healed my life, and he has given me so much peace and so much joy. Now, how about you? Have you ever heard a story like that? You know, so I've done the miracle question. I've prayed for them. I've shared my story. I've thrown the ball back. We're now having a conversation. I'm not doing a presentation. You know the difference?
Yeah.
And then from there, they will talk about their response to my testimony or whether they've experienced that or not, or their own thoughts. And then I will say, well, let me show you something. And I'll put out a little card. Often I use that, or I'll just use my own words. Say, well, let me tell you what I read in that book. And that will actually share the gospel, you know, how God sent his son, how we're separated from God. We have a little small diagram that I'll have up for us here this weekend where we call it the three circles. You can actually go to Google and just Google three circles gospel tool, and you'll find videos on YouTube where you can use it. Or you can download the Life Conversation app. And there is a tutorial video plus one you can use with your smartphone. But I love using that because it's visual and it's good for training them and showing them how they could share the gospel with someone. But I often use that. So I go with the miracle question to praying for them to using my story to then using God's story. And then at the end, is that something you'd like to do today? You know, and now we've gone on a real journey with this person.
And that's cool because I think a lot of people, when they think of evangelism, it's like, and it could be hours, months, but this is neat that you've thrown that out to them. I'm going to pray for you, share my testimony, present the gospel, and it sounds like that's like a 3-minute conversation, which is really cool. It seems very simple. It's not this big long thing.
Yeah, and sometimes it is. You know, we've sat there. Sometimes I've skipped everything and gone straight to the gospel. For example, we were at a mall and I was doing a training, and so I was doing some outreach, and so I took the leader with me just to you know, encourage and coach him, and we met this guy, and I just felt led to go to him, And he's a big Aboriginal guy. And we walked up and we said, "Hey, man, my name's Danny. This is Ewald. And we're just out here praying for people. And we're just wondering, is there anything we could pray for you? You know, if God could do a miracle in your life, what would it be?" And he was like, no, thanks. I don't believe in that. I believe in my father who provided for me, my dad. And that's about as far as my faith goes in anything outside myself. So I skipped every other step. And I went straight to the gospel. And I said, "Let me show you something." And I didn't even give him an opportunity. I just started drawing. I'm like, "Do you ever notice in the world that the world has a lot of brokenness?" And I started to share the gospel, and he kind of leaned over, and he's leaning in, and he's watching, and he's interested. And I shared about, you know, but God's original design did not include this brokenness and sin, but because of sin, we're separated. You know, talked about the cross and how God sent his son, and now he opened up a way, and I'm drawing all these arrows with these three circles, super simple tool. And afterwards, I said, "So have you ever heard that before? Does that make sense?" And he was like, he just paused and he said, "You just blew my mind." He said, "I have never heard that before until now." And he said, "Man, is that true?" And I was like, "That's exactly true. That's the gospel."
Wow.
And he opened right up. He called his girlfriend over. His girlfriend came over. We prayed over her, shared the three circles with her. She gave her life to Christ. And he definitely, and we said, "Look, would you be interested in getting together sometime and talking about more stories of Jesus from the Bible?" And he was like, "Absolutely." And so we've been following up with him.
That's cool.
Yeah. So it's not about a step one, step two, step three, step four. And if you do it wrong, you know, it's about having multiple tools, but being comfortable with
sharing.
And
I would guess the more that you practice this, you just probably get better at it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like with anything that you can kind of sense. Like, so I'm assuming that you've done this before and people have just shut you right down.
Oh, yeah.
I think you called those people red lights.
Red
lights. Yeah, and you just go, "Okay, well, they're not ready to hear it," or whatever.
Absolutely.
But you, I guess the more that you would do it,
happens
the
all the time.
Yeah, the more that you kind of can sense, "Okay, I got to skip this part and jump ahead," or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like I equate evangelism with, like, you know, learning an instrument. I can watch all the videos on how to play the violin. I can learn how to read music. I can memorize Beethoven. I can talk about it. I can teach it, you know, from what I know. But until I actually pick it up and start doing it, I'm really learning nothing. And so evangelism is very much the same. We can teach all these tools and we can put on workshops and seminars and we can mobilize people and make them feel bad. You know, you need to do this more, or inspire them, right? Either or. And, but until, you know, we actually decide that I want to actually help reach lost people, that's where, just like the first few scratches on the violin sound horrible, but the more you do it, the better you become. So it is in the natural with anything. It is in the, with this.
Maybe it would be helpful just to go over, like Andrew mentioned, the red light, just kind of go over that green, yellow, red light, because I think that would be helpful. Just the reality is not everyone will be receptive, and that doesn't mean you did a bad job necessarily or that you
That's
need
right.
to quit.
Yeah, Jesus so. Even hit red lights. Yeah, you bet. They had people trying to kill him, right? So, yeah, what we're talking about here is kind of the four different responses to the gospel. The first response, we call them red lights. And those are people who you might share the gospel with them, share your story, pray for them, do the miracle question, go everything. You get to that point and you ask them, "Is that something you'd like to do today?" And they just simply say, "No, I'm just not ready," right? Or they shut you down right away. "Hey, we're just out praying." "Not interested." You know, it's a red light. Jesus made it pretty simple what we were supposed to do. He said, keep looking, right? Move on is what he said. Shake the dust off your feet, actually, is what he said. Meaning that, you know, like, move on. Don't get stuck. Too many Christians get stuck arguing with red lights, thinking they're doing ministry. Right. I believe it's a trap from the enemy to keep effective Christians from being fruitful. Because you'll never, in the 20-some-odd years that I've been doing evangelism, not once have I ever argued someone into the kingdom. Not once. Everyone I've ever led was already open. There was already a backstory. There was already some preparation going on. There was some readiness. I just happened to come into the situation, and they were already being drawn. That's when you know. Lots more to say about that, but those are red lights. Yellow lights are people that are genuinely interested, they're open, they're curious, they have questions, they have some things they've believed wrongly for a long time, so they're willing to unpack that. The only difference between a yellow light, they may not be ready, they might still say no, but the difference from a yellow light is they would still be willing to get together with you to talk further. Mm. And when they ask a question, it's not argumentative. It's genuine curiosity. Like, they want to know. Yeah. And when you answer it, they accept it. They're like, okay, I didn't know that. That's a yellow light. Mm-hmm. With them, follow up. Get together with them. Go through stories of the Bible with them. Use the simple discipleship tools that we'll talk about this weekend. Meet with them. Follow up, right? And then there's green lights. Those are the fun ones. Those are the people you meet. I am ready to do that right now. Mm. They will want to give their life to Christ. With them, we immediately want to follow up with them. We want to get them on mission, teach them how they can reach others, how to do it, how to initiate spiritual conversations, how to share their story, how to share God's story, and give them the tools. And we want to meet with them regularly and get them to start inviting those they think. And we start to get to church. We start mm-hmm. to get to a multiplicative church in that context. And then finally, the fourth one is when you run into an existing believer. Mm. Teach them the three circles. Train them and say, do you know anyone else in your life that you could share this with in the next 48 hours? Mm. Right? You know, we don't want to just, oh, they're already saved. Okay, move on.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
If 98% of North Americans aren't sharing their faith and we meet one, let's train them.
Yeah.
Let's get that down. Let's train them.
And we find a lot of our team members out in the harvest. They're from other churches. We're not trying to pull them away from their churches or anything like that. But we wind up running into them. They're like, you guys do this all the time? We're like, yeah. Don't you? You know? Yeah, we go out into the harvest. We actually try to reach lost people. They're like, that is awesome. I said, well, come with us next Tuesday night, man. We'll do some training. Mm-hmm. And so they'll come. They'll start showing up. And all of a sudden, they're just lit up. And, you know, they're still going to their church, but they're coming to this. And they're, you know, part of our team. So it's a lot of fun. Oh, awesome. So that's some practical training on stuff we'll talk about this weekend.
Yeah, and I'll share a story because, I mean, I heard Danny speak at Mission Vision and some of this stuff, and I'm excited for him to kind of unpack it more this weekend, but he talked about the miracle question, and it wasn't much later that I got a call from the pregnancy center, and there was a guy, life was a mess, and blah, 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 it doesn't matter the details, but he just wanted a guy to talk to, so I said, okay, totally not my thing. Not a counselor. I was like, oh, okay, I'll come listen to this guy. So kind of walked in, and I forget what I started with. Just share what's going on in your life. And so he kind of dumped all of this stuff, just addictions and all sorts of stuff that he was involved in. And I remember just looking at him like, praying, oh God, give me something to say when he stopped. Like, his mouth is going to stop moving and I'm going to have to say something, not just stare at him. Yeah. And and I was just praying that as he's talking, God, give me something. And it was amazing because he ended with, you know, here's my whole mess of a life and, you know, I just want rest. You know what I mean? I feel like I don't have any rest. So I was like, oh, thank you, God. I think I can do something with this.
Yeah.
And so I kind of shared, and it's neat that you're talking about, you know, it doesn't have to follow a certain order because I didn't. You know, I shared, you want to hear how I found rest in my life? And so I kind of shared my testimony in a little bit. And then I think I asked him, like, do you believe in God? Yeah, I think so. And I said, well, like, if God could do a miracle in your life, what would it be? So totally threw that question out there. And he said, you know, $2 million, that would fix all my problems.
Of course.
And I remember pushing him a little bit, like, really? That's all you're going to ask for? Like, anything that God could do in your life and you just want $2 million? So he was definitely a yellow light, because he was just kind of like
it.
He was like, yeah, okay. And I kind of shared the gospel with him and, can I pray with you? Yeah, sure. And so he wasn't a green light. Yeah, I want to become a believer. But it was just cool. God brought that to my mind, what Danny had taught, and it was just, and it worked. It was neat. It just led to a conversation.
Yeah.
And I've been praying for God to give me another chance to see this guy somewhere in town to follow up. So, but yeah, just an encouragement to those listening that, like, I was terrified.
Yeah.
Because I was like, man, this guy, I don't know what I'm going to say to him. But just that kind of question just led to very open conversation, I guess.
And that's exactly the point of the training, and you make that point perfectly, is that these are just now tools for people, like crutches,
sure,
for people to use now to take those steps with a lot more confidence on kind of what to say and how to say it. And the goal isn't to do the miracle question or to share your story. The goal is to help that person to encounter Christ. Mm. And so the miracle question is helpful.
Sure.
It's not the goal to ask the question, okay, good, I did my part.
Yeah. Right?
It's to ask the question and to, you know, allow the conversation to happen, because we want it to be a conversation, not a presentation, because mm-hmm. that's very different. So, yeah, you know, it can go either way, but the key is to be genuine, to be loving, and to be ready, because Jesus said the harvest is plentiful. Do you notice he said this? Therefore, pray. He didn't say pray that it would be even more plentiful or pray that it would be more ready. He said it's already ready. So that's a promise. He said, pray for laborers. Therefore, pray for laborers to be sent into the harvest.
Yeah.
So what we have a lack of in Canada, when people say, oh, the churches are in decline. No, our sharing is in decline. Mm. Our laborers are in decline. Mm.
It's not a harvest issue.
Not it's a harvest issue. Yeah. It's not a spiritual climate in Canada. The harvest has been plentiful for 2,000 years. That includes Canada. It includes Canadians. It includes my neighbors. It includes people in this town.
Yeah.
No matter what. Will people be red lights? Yes, absolutely. But are there going to be greens? Yes. How do we find the greens? We share the gospel.
Yeah.
That's how we find the greens.
Yeah, that's exciting, because like we're for the month of September talking about vision with our church, and so I know stats are not 100% reliable, but looking at
87% of them are.
It's always 87.
87%
of stats are reliable. But Stats Canada, right, in the last census in 2011, and I shared this with our church, 26,000 people in Fort St. John. So this is 5 years old. 18,800 of them aren't believers. Checked off the no, I'm not a no religious kind of. So I told our church, like, that's 7 out of 10. So I didn't want it to come across as a man, we suck, but more of a 7 out of 10 people that you rub shoulders with don't know Jesus. And we know that, right, the harvest is plentiful. So can you imagine you're grocery shopping and 7 out of 10 people that you bump shoulders with, they don't know Jesus? What a like. Trying to inspire, like, we have an incredible opportunity here to share the gospel with people. And yes, people will say no and shut us down, but there's, like you said, there's lots of green lights out there and broken people.
You just got to find them.
Exactly. And to equip people to go, which is what I'm excited about, to have you here this weekend.
That's cool, man. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to get started.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, so, if people maybe can't make it this weekend, is there something online that they can look up for some of these resources, or
yeah, my buddy has a bunch of training videos that he put online. It's coopersonamission.com. It's my friend Troy Cooper, so he's just talking about his family. Coopersonamission.com, and under there, there's a resources section. You can click on training videos, that kind of stuff. If you go online, really even just on YouTube, and you plug in T for T or Four Fields Training, you'll be able to find all kinds of different videos on different sections of the training. Sure. We're working on a website right now, noplaceleft.ca, where we're going to have all different sections of our training done by Canadian team members. And people will be able to just click on download. Everything on that site is going to be free. We're not going to charge a dime for anything. And they'll be able to download them, download printable things so they can get their churches trained and taught. And if they want to connect with us, you know, write me an email, danny.mckay, that's M-A-C-K-A-Y, at imsecond.com. And we'll talk about getting your church connected or your group and or your leaders, and we'll try to find someone that'll be willing to come and train them. So we just want to mobilize as many as we can until there's no place left.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. You mentioned that, what was it, 98% in North America, believers that don't share their faith, and maybe just a comment about why that number is so high. What's the problem? Is it an obedience issue? Is it a lack of training? Or what do you see?
It's all of that. You know, 98%, the few of the biggest reasons why, we don't know how to initiate and we don't know what to say. And that's because, you know, it hasn't been taught. We don't have a culture where we teach the gospel. In fact, what we notice in churches is that there are people who make their way into a church kind of seeking God, but they don't know, they haven't heard the gospel. Hmm. So they hear a sermon, they hear different sermons, but they don't really get the on-ramp into how do I, that's because, you know, we've kind of turned a lot of our churches into, you know, topical, how to live the Christian life, things like that, rather than a mission center in the midst of lostness, a lighthouse. We haven't made it that. We haven't made it a training center, a mobilization unit. Our churches are a lot like search and rescue ships that are still tied to the dock, and we're yelling at people out in the storm, if you could just get over here and get in the ship, right? But meanwhile, they're out there, and they're drowning out there, and they won't or can't get here.
Yeah.
So we're supposed to be those cutter ships that go out into the storm and pick them up out of the waves and grab a hold of them. And so 98% of us, we're busy inviting people to an address. Hey, why don't you come to my church on Sunday? And then we hope the pastor does the heavy lifting in his sermon. Whereas, you know, we need to get people back to, like in the book of Acts and throughout many of the church ages, where everybody was sharing, where it wasn't just the missionary, it wasn't just the pastor, it wasn't just Billy Graham or the preachers, but it was everybody.
Yeah.
That's how we're going to reach a city and change a country.
Hmm.
So it's not, let's try to get him to the church, let's try to get him to Jesus Christ, and that'll make the difference.
Invite them to Jesus and then disciple them and teach them how to reach other lost people. We'll get to an outward going multiplication rather than an inward addition where they come into our churches and become spectators, right? Which isn't bad. I'm not saying don't do this. We should do this. We should have a rallying meeting, and we should have a get together and love each other and stay connected and share good news and have testimonies going up. But everybody needs to be commissioned back out into the mission field to get back out into lostness, and to be, each one of us has the potential to be leading other churches and other, you know, house churches and other groups, and raising up other leaders who are going out and doing more and getting to that fourth generation quickly. Every single one of us, they're here.
Yeah,
the potential and the leaders are here. We just have to train them and then release them and give them that commission and that vision to go. So
yeah,
that's what we're hoping happens this weekend.
Yeah, you
know, or at least the beginning of that journey.
Yep. Oh, that's awesome. Okay, awesome. Well, I think that's good. And thanks for sharing, Danny. And if this comes out after the training weekend, I'm sure we're going to have Danny up again at some point. Mm-hmm. And then you can check out online some of those training videos. And hopefully, I feel inspired and want to go out there and do this kind of stuff. So thanks, Danny.
Thanks a lot for having me. This is great. Love being here.